Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
Well, the banks here in Singapore have just finished releasing their earnings results, and compared to some other sectors, they seem to have done fairly well. Or did they? Well, let's get the opinion of one of the more noted banking analysts here in Singapore. We're joined now by Mr. Krishna Guha, who is the Vice President for Research over at Jefferies, and he's just gotten done parsing through all the numbers released by the Big Three over their third quarter. And he's here to tell us what he made of the results. Mr. Guha, thank you so much for joining us, and good afternoon to you.
Thank you very much, JP, for having me.
All right. So, Mr. Guha, as you mentioned, UOB, OCBC, DBS, all releasing their earnings recently. And compared to some other sectors, it seems at least on the net income base, they seem to have done a bit better than others. In your opinion, though, based on your expectations, do you think that the earnings for the banks impressed more or less when compared to other sectors? Or were the results more or less in line with what you were expecting and there were no surprises to you?
No, I think if you see the numbers, there is about mid-single-digit to mid-teens growth on a year-on-year basis for these banks. DBS and UOB came ahead of my expectations, OCBC a tad miss. But broadly, I think the results for this quarter were reasonably okay, given the challenging environment that we are right now in. Future outlook, yes, it's a bit more subdued. Sector trend is one of lower margin and higher credit cost, which will be offset by some of this cost effectiveness that the banks have launched in the due course and some help from the non-interest income. But see, the story is that absent any growth, these banks have ample capital and they have a stated payout policy and therefore reasonable yield. And that's likely to support these bank stock price rather than any undue expectation about bottom line growth.
And so are you expecting that the share prices for banks, should there be more increased volatility in the markets down the road, will actually be more stable vis-a-vis, say, other sectors?
Yes, I think so. I mean, if you see the index is up about 6%. These banks are up anything about 10% except OCBC. So they have outperformed year to date. And given that the volatility that we are seeing now in the financial market, I would expect these banks to stay range bound and consolidate around the current levels.
Okay. Let's talk about the one thing that stood out when I looked at some of the report cards, if I may call them those, are the fact that one of the big drivers for some of these banks was fee-based income from wealth management and also other fee-generating products. Also, it's a bit of a standout for some of the banks when you look at what the big drivers were. What do you think drove the strength in fee-based income? And in the future, can they both overcome pressures that we might see on net interest margins and make up for some of the headwinds in net interest margins, and also maybe weather market volatility that could also see some of these fee-based incomes actually put to the sword or put to the test?
Yeah, no, I think you brought up a very good point. Yes, both fees and the broader non-interest income has been a source of revenue growth, despite on a sequential basis the net interest income line coming out a bit soft. So in terms of what drove this, see, I mean, banks have been guiding that they have been making investment to grow this part of the business. Plus, there has been wealth growth in the region. Asia is a significant source of growth, both in economic growth and therefore the wealth growth globally. And the three banks are also gaining market share. You look at credit card data and you can get a sense of they are benefiting from market share gains as well. Banks have been guiding this, and so it has been quite reassuring to see that these results are flowing through and supporting the overall revenue. Now, in terms of whether the market volatility is going to test some of these line items, especially the trading side of the things, yes, I mean, okay, we start from last year. I think last year also banks had a reasonably strong trading year. And coming into this year, I think I myself was expecting a bit more subdued outlook. But these banks have continued to surprise on the upside. Suffice to say, year to date, it has been pretty strong. I am factoring in that these levels will be maintained into next year, but suffice, these are trading gains, so market volatility can impact the other side also. But banks have put investments into their risk management systems, and that is what is helping them to capture these growth from customer flows that's happening in this part of the world. And also the other thing which we want to maintain that, you know, other global banks have reduced their presence over the last decade in this part of the region, and therefore Singapore banks being the preeminent regional banks are benefiting from that as well. So I am factoring that these levels will be maintained, and touch wood, they do so.
Okay, we're still speaking to Mr. Krishna Guha, Vice President at Jefferies, and also their resident banking analyst also. Krishna, I want to talk about the changing landscape in the banking sector. As we know, there is a big tech and digital push that's happening right now. On one hand, we could see a lot of digital banks come in and challenge the big three. On the other hand, they're saying that the digitization that some of these banks have undergone might actually yield some benefits in terms of revenues, or especially on the cost saving side. Net net, based on your analysis, do you think that this overall digital push or transformation in the banks will bring more opportunities or competitive threats to the big three?
Great question, especially in the week when I think Singapore is hosting its fourth annual Singapore FinTech Festival.
Right.
So on both on opportunities and threats, it's a bit of both for the local banks out here. So it forces these banks to face the reality, and therefore they have to improve their processes, they have to retain their customers and lower the cost, because those spreads which were available earlier, the floats, or rather the lazy floats which they were enjoying, is no longer there. And I think it is right time that banks have to face up the reality and offer a better offering to the customers. So my sense is that it definitely improves their efficiency, but it can also provide some additional revenue opportunities for banks in certain segments and geographies which were earlier not that profitable or too cost prohibitive to take in. So in my sense, the marginal cost of getting that revenue will definitely be lower, and that may help the banks. But I will say that more of it is in lowering their cost-to-income ratios and maintaining their efficiency. That will be the key benefits.
Okay. And finally, Mr. Goh, before we let you go, I want to look ahead already to 2020. If you had to pick one of the three to look out for, which of the three banks will be worth looking out for more than the others, for instance?
So I think, macro conditions are clearly challenging for all three banks. After they've reported, I am factoring in pretty much flat bottom line for next year. So within the three, our preferred pick right now is DBS. And main reason is that we think, in addition to the capital and yield that I have already stated, they have a better non-interest income franchise in my view. And they have invested in improving the processes. And that should help to withstand some of the margin and asset quality pressures which we foresee next year. So that name is definitely something that we will be watching out.
Okay, fair enough. And thank you so much for joining us again. That was Mr. Krishna Guha, the Vice President over at Jefferies.
Thank you very much, JP, for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.